The flight had been smooth so far, without any problems. Greer had just risen from his seat to contact their office in New York for an update, using one of the two sat phones in the plane. He ended the call and returned. His team looked at him, waiting to hear his report. "FBI will be waiting for us at JFK for Houston," he said. "After we land, we're to stay until the Delta flight lands, then transfer him into their custody. The feds might be taking over, but I want us to be on hand to secure the transfer." "Any trouble on the other planes?" a marshal asked. "Zip." "We should have taken Houston, boss," said one of the others. "Maybe," Greer replied. "Detective Archer was right, though. We can't be too careful." "Being in Paris got us paranoid," another said, shaking his head, unconvinced. "No one can touch us up here." 35,000 feet below, the floating armory that the traffic and crew had commandeered was now a few hundred miles ahead of the flight track the JPATS plane was taking. The confident marshal was wrong. The men on board had just finished rolling out the BUK anti-aircraft system out to the middle of the deck, from where it had been hidden under a tarpaulin. "Stop! That's good," the leader shouted, his crew stepping back. One of them then climbed the rungs outside the weapons system and stepped into the seat behind the control panel in the vehicle, before switching everything on. In front of him, a yellow line suddenly appeared on two circular orange screens and started to go around in circles. The radar was activated. It immediately picked up some shapes, planes that were flying from European or American airports. The operator had become familiar with the system last week when they'd shot down the private plane, just to test the weapon out to see if it worked. The man was Russian and a former radio engineer in their military, so it hadn't taken him very long to familiarize himself with how it operated. The skipper joined him in the control booth, looking over his operator's shoulder at the orange radar screens. Unlike an air traffic control tower, the planes weren't identified with airline and tag numbers. He saw seven shapes on the screen. All were moving. "The boss said it left De Gaulle at 4:50 p.m., he said, checking his time. "We already know the flight tracks and timings for planes from Paris, right?" "Yes, the weather's good," the Russian said. "They won't be deviated." The engineer flicked some of the controls, the leader hearing the metallic groan as the missile array up top started to swivel. Outside, the other men had all stepped back, watching the preparation with interest. But as they all focused on the system tracking the plane, none of them had noticed the sudden discovery appearing over the horizon behind them.
"Federal Air Marshal,"
Archer shouted at Benoit Glass at the top of the left side aisle on the Delta Flight's coach section, drawing his weapon.
"Drop the cup."
Immediately, everyone in the coach cabin looked up with shock as they heard the shout and saw the drawn weapon. Glass reacted like lightning. He stepped backwards and ducked into the galley at the rear of the plane. Out of sight from Archer, he pulled a single match from his pocket and scraped it across the small cardboard nail file he was holding in preparation, sparking a flame as he juggled the cup in his grip.
"Chuck, drop him!"
Archer shouted, running down the aisle. As Glass lifted the flame towards the cup of explosives, from behind him, a hand suddenly swatted it out of the way, the match falling harmlessly to the floor.